Hey everyone, it looks like we have a few more folks that are kind of trickling in, but I know the session got over a little late across the street, so we've been letting folks kind of trickle in, but we're going to go ahead and dive in and get started. For those of you I haven't had the opportunity to meet personally yet, thank you for taking the moments to invest your time here today looking at what it means to cultivate emotional health. My name is Paul Kuzma, and I've been a Foursquare pastor for over 30 years, and I spent almost 30 years pastoring at the same church in Simi Valley, California, down in Southern California. If you've never been there, it's an incredible place to visit, home of the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library, which I was called the crown jewel of our city. And spent my first 8 years there as the youth pastor, 4 years as associate pastor, and then a little over 17 as the senior pastor. I'm going to share a little bit of my story with you this morning. But currently, for the last 3 years, 3 years ago, I uprooted after almost 40 years in Southern California and moved my wife and our younger of two sons and I to Christiansburg, Virginia, clear across the country, which is where we now hail from. I would like to introduce you to my way more than better half, Colleen, honey, if you would stand up and just, yeah, so everybody can see you. And so it was 3 years ago that we moved across the country at the invitation of Tammy Donahue and the National Church Office to follow in my mentor and spiritual father's footsteps. Many of you might know Dr. Chuck Shoemake, who launched the Center for Spiritual Renewal that we now call CSR East, because we now have two of them, CSR East and CSR West. But he launched the Center for Spiritual Renewal as a retreat center for Foursquare pastors and their families on the campus of the former Life Bible College East. Beautiful, peaceful 88-acre campus that Foursquare decided to turn into a retreat center for pastors. The whole of the campus is now called Cross Point Conference Center. I'd like to also introduce you to somebody that I will just be blunt enough to say you will want to meet. And in the first few seconds that you're talking to him, you'll kind of catch his heart and understand why. John Coleman, if you'll stand. This is John Coleman, everybody. John and his wife, Susan, serve at Cross Point. John serves specifically as the general manager of Cross Point Conference Center. But he is also my partner in some good crime of Center for Spiritual Renewal. It's where John and Susan's hearts lie. And so I will often say that John and Susan Coleman are the best decision that Foursquare never knew they made. And so when you come to CSR, you will meet John and Susan. And I often work with pastors in the counseling room or over the lunch table or breakfast table or at a local Starbucks. And John will often meet with pastors in a kayak on the New River, floating down the New River, or hiking the Buffalo, or one of our other local incredibly beautiful hikes. And we like to say that God does as much at CSR East, outside of the counseling room, just in the setting that it is, as he does inside the counseling room. So you may be wondering, and I'm actually finding, even though I'm now over three years into this role, even at this Foursquare connection, that I'm finding that most Foursquare pastors are still either unaware or they have a mixed perspective of what our CSRs are. Here's how I like to talk about it to Foursquare pastors. Did you know that Foursquare gives you the gift of a free timeshare? You get a free week of lodging every year, either at CSR East or CSR West. And the cool thing is, you don't even have to sit through a sales presentation. Right? Now, if you have the mixed perspective of CSR, you might be thinking, yeah, but I have to meet with you, and I'm not so sure I want to meet with a counselor at one of the CSRs, because I'm also finding that most Foursquare pastors that know of CSR, they think of it as Foursquare rehab for pastors, right? You go there only if you need help. We're trying to correct that view. The bigger picture of our CSRs is not just about getting help, although we encourage it. I actually have a long-term vision for this in this role, working with pastoral health within Foursquare, that eventually within our Foursquare culture, we can come to a place where help is no longer a four-letter word. So I think it's actually healthy to say, help, little help over here. So it's great if you can come and meet with us, but really the biggest reason that we have CSRs is to give you a break from where you are. So we invite you to come to Virginia. Robbie and I, when we're together, when he's with me in the room, we always have some jovial fun about it. He's going to encourage you to go to downtown L.A. I'm going to say, who wants to go to downtown L.A.? You want to come to Virginia, where you get, it's a very peaceful setting. Out in the country, you get your own private two- or three-bedroom apartment. Like I said, fully furnished. All you do is get there, cover your food while you're there, and come enjoy your free week. So hopefully you got a brochure when you were coming in. But that's a little bit about me. It's what I do full-time. Colleen and I have been married for over 32 years. And I'm so glad to say that all of those have been happy. They've not all been easy, have they, babe? You can talk to her if you want to hear about that. You know what? That was wrong. Leave her alone. Don't talk to her at all, please. And then we have two boys. They are right now 23 and 22 years old. They're 10 months apart. Yeah. I always like to let that settle in before I let you know that they're actually both adopted from birth. Two different birth mothers. I wouldn't do that to my wife. Okay. Our older one is back in Southern California. He has just become a corporal in the United States Marine Corps. He's a reserve. Yeah, thank you very much. And is getting ready to deploy for his first deployment. And then our younger one is actually moved to Virginia with us, is living with us, and just a couple months ago became a Montgomery County Sheriff's Deputy. Blew us all out of the water with his journey, and so he's starting his career. Now, on the side, in my free time, right, I work for Pete Scazzaro and Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. Been in the journey for about 15 years. I want to talk to you about that for a few minutes this morning. A little bit more about me is anybody else find when you look back on your childhood, were you, anybody else in the room one of those kids that you got saved at every single VBS you went to, right? You went up to the altar every time or raised your hand every time. I was one of those kids. I was raised as what I like to call a church orphan. Anybody else in the room? Mom made sure when they didn't go to church with us, which was maybe half the time, when they didn't go, she made sure that we were dressed and ready when the bus came by so that we got on the bus and we went to church. So I actually have what I consider three conversions in my life. From the late 70s, I was born in 1965, from the late 70s to 1997, I call it the area of my early faith is what it begins with. I consider my spiritual birthday the day where I really knew what I was doing when I said yes to Jesus, January 23rd, 1979. And it followed an experience that I had about 6 months before at a Fellowship of Christian Athletes meeting where the movie Thief in the Night had just come out. Anybody remember that one? Yeah? So the way I like to put it is I got scared into heaven with the guillotine at the end of Thief in the Night. Yep. At a Fellowship of Christian Athletes meeting. But about 6 months later, a guy named Barry McGuire was coming through town and got several hundred people together in a high school gymnasium. And that was the place that I said yes to Jesus and can point back and say I knew what I was doing. But I've recognized that God was really involved in my life all the way up to that point. Anybody else? Before you even gave your life to him. And there were a couple things that he just did to make himself real to me. I was 8 years old. We were living in Michigan. My little brother had just been born in early July of 1973. And he had been born, it turned out, with something that they call Hirschsprung syndrome, which means that he's missing a portion of his intestines. if this doesn't get fixed, he's going to die. And we're attending an Assembly of God church in Royal Oak, Michigan. There's an evangelist by the name of Mike Murdoch, who's still around today, traveling through town. And Mike Murdoch apparently gets wind of my little brother's story, comes to the hospital, lays hands on him and prays just before they take him into emergency surgery. And the doctors open him up, and everything's there. There is nothing missing. Wow. Maybe there's something to this God, right? A few years later, 3 or 4 years later, we're living in Rockwall, Texas, right outside of Dallas. And my mom and dad decide to call it quits, and they divorce. What kid of a divorce does not pray for his or her parents to get back together, right? I prayed, and God answered. And a year after they went through a legal divorce, they announced to us they were getting back together, and Dad moved back in. Wow. Wow. 1979, I give my life to Christ. 1983, I find myself at Life Bible College and under a call to become a pastor. I've connected to a four-square church, some of you might have heard of it, called the Church on the Way, out of a little town called Van Nuys, California. Was in the high school group there, called to ministry, dropped into Life Bible College in 1983. And 1985, I meet and marry Colleen Flanagan, Deborah Colleen Flanagan, and I find myself at Simi Valley Foursquare Church. I'm serving with a pastor. I'm there for 2 years. I graduate Bible College. I start off as janitor. I become church secretary, doing youth ministry on the side, when that pastor ends up leaving under some cloud of controversy and some pain. The pastor before him, before I was there, same thing had happened. The pastor before him, same thing had happened. So there was kind of this train going on. And in comes the next pastor, who was my high school youth pastor at Church on the Way in Van Nuys, right? This is awesome. I've been connected with him. He's been a mentor of mine. We're going to work together. We worked together for about 4.5 years. At the end of the 4.5 years, he decides that he wants to do something else with his life. So he leaves. 3 months later, he leaves his wife. And some other controversy swirls. Very painful for the church. Another pastor comes in. He's there for 5 years. He's breaking the mold of every 3 or 4 years we have a pastoral crash. And a month before a huge five-year, he breaks the mold party, his marriage disintegrates. And so this is now 3 pastoral transitions we've been through. And the district supervisor at the time is a guy a few of you may have heard of, Jim Scott. Anybody ever heard of Jim Scott? Right? Most recently, our former missions director, serving as North American area missionary now. And Jim asks if I'll be the interim pastor of the church. Sure, yeah, we'll figure out how to do that. And we do that for a month or so. And he calls me one day and says, so you know that the previous pastor isn't coming back. I had a conversation last night with the church council, and they've told me that they're tired every time they go through this, that Foursquare brings in a pastor that they don't know. And they have said that they've watched you, they've seen your faithfulness, and they think you're ready. I think you're ready. What do you think? Not doing this. I said, well, let me talk to my wife. And so, you know, where it's the day, it's before the proliferation of cell phones. I actually had to, like, get in my car and drive home to talk to my wife, you know, have a conversation with her. And she knew everything that was going on. And so I'm telling her, here's what Jim said, honey, and here's what he's asking us. And I really expected her to ask something practical. You know, you've been on staff a long time. You've been doing a lot of things. You're doing a lot of things now. You know, who's going to do the stuff you're doing so that you don't just take on another job, you know? I expected her to maybe even ask something like, well, this is always been a full-time position for you, so, like with this position, is there different pay? Is there, like, a raise? Or, you know, what about the health insurance benefit? You know, something real practical like that. Are you going to get more vacation time? Instead, her very first question to me is, you're not going to become neurotic like the rest of them, are you? So I call my late 70s, my conversion number one when I first gave my life to Christ till 1997 was from early faith to neurotic like the rest of them, is what I call that stage. of my life. 3.5 years later, this is what my life looks like. Anybody resonate with this picture right here? The yoke whose load is much too heavy to bear. 3.5 years later in 2001, I find myself in burnout. Another pastor in the train. And I sit with my church council. I'm in conversation with Chuck Shoemake. He's saying, Paul, you're in burnout. You didn't get here overnight. You're not going to get out overnight. I sit with my church council and say, here's what Chuck told me. I don't want the church to go through this, so we can just kind of part ways. And one of those council members literally did this. He said, time out. Time out. And they confirmed with me in conversation. They said, you haven't done anything illegal, immoral, unethical. We're also tired of a district supervisor showing up on a Sunday morning every 4 years saying, you're never going to see your pastor again. We think we need to talk about this. Maybe what this church needs is to see what it takes for a pastor to get healthy and then lead out of health. And so we talked with Jim Scott. Jim said, I concur. I'll never forget. For those of you in the room that know Jim Scott, he's got this gregarious belly laugh. Anybody know the Jim Scott belly laugh? He's got this gregarious belly laugh. And I'll never forget when I first called him bawling, saying, Jim, I don't know what's going on, man. I'm in trouble. My life's falling apart. I'll never forget him laughing on the other end of the phone and saying, here's what he said to me, Kuzma, Jesus finally has you right where he wants you. Whatever, Jim, I just need help. So he talked with the church council and said, let's figure out what this means. And so that launched me into a journey that eventually led me to discovering my iceberg. This is a picture we use a lot around the theme of emotionally healthy spirituality. You know how the 10% of the iceberg is what people see above the surface of your life. 90% of the iceberg is below the surface of the water, and this is generally what people don't see. This right here is who we are when no one's looking, right? This is who we are when everyone's looking. And I started to discover that I didn't go here below the iceberg very often in my life, in some critical places where I really needed to in my journey. And so it launched me into a journey into what I call conversion number two that was actually a couple-year-long journey from 2001 to 2003, moving from a place that I call emotional blindness in my life or ignorance to emotional health and beginning to discover that God actually created us with emotions, that He's actually an emotional God, and He actually means to grow us through our emotions. I began to discover the thesis of what today is titled Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, which is that emotional health and spiritual maturity are inseparable. It's actually not possible to be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. And I began to recognize that was part of my issue, was that I had separated these two things. I began to realize that that in church we've done a pretty good job over the centuries. We've done a pretty good job discipling people in their spiritual life. Here's what it means to be born again and to live in a relationship with your Savior, Jesus Christ. We've done a pretty good job discipling people in their intellectual life. God created you with a mind, and He expects you to use it and wants you to use it critically. We're even doing a fairly good job in the last several decades starting to disciple people in their physical life, right? Your body is God's temple, and He wants you to steward that well. We're even these days doing a better and better job discipling people in their financial life, right? Everything you have comes from God in the first place, so it all belongs to Him. And so we have, in the last decades, we had Larry Crown, or Crown Ministries, Larry Burkett, rather. And these days we're talking a lot, Dave Ramsey, Financial Peace University. I don't know about you, but here's how I was discipled about my emotional life. You can't trust them, so don't pay any attention to them. That's what was modeled for me and how I was discipled. In essence, I wasn't discipled in my emotional life. And so it got left behind. And I began to find more and more and more that I wasn't alone. So I started kind of trying to figure out, what does that mean for my life? What does that mean for my marriage? And we, Colleen and I, began to get some help. I went into therapy. We did some marital therapy along the way, and then I ended up connecting with Pete and Jerry Scazzaro right when he wrote his first book, The Emotionally Healthy Church. And so then I have what I call conversion three. Once I started to kind of live in this place of wanting my emotional life to be discipled and growing in that area, I came across what I call conversion number three, which really is 2003 to present. Living in a place from a place that I realized was like this, that my contemplation life of being with God looked like that in relation to my activity life, my active life of doing for God looked like this, and my life often looked like that squiggly arrow. And I began to learn about the importance of silence, solitude, and what that meant to maybe take a look at ordering my life a little bit more like this, where my being with God became the well out of which I became active for God, that my doing for God would be based in my being with God. So in the pattern of what we now call emotionally healthy spirituality, it's actually been a 22-year journey. How many people have actually read the book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality? Not just have it on your shelf, but you actually read it. You actually read it. Okay, good. A fair amount of you. If you've not picked it up yet, I would encourage you to. Pete and Jerry Scazzaro actually started their journey that became Emotionally Healthy Spirituality and what it is today, resourcing pastors and leaders and churches, 22 years ago. And it's quite a story that I'll let you read in the book. But one of the things we began to discover as we started figuring out that this is actually a missing component of discipleship, emotionally healthy spirituality. And we began to take a look at discipleship as a whole in the church and discovering what many of us are discovering over the last several years, that the global church really is in deep trouble. If you've done any looking at several years ago, the Reveal study that came out of Willow Creek Church, or more recently in 2015, George Barna's work on the state of discipleship, a couple of the things we began to learn is that only 1% of church leaders in America actually say that churches are doing very well at discipling new and young believers, that participation in discipleship activities overall is weak, as low as 20% is what we market in the survey in our churches, and that the two most significant barriers, ironically, are the busyness of life, right, our activity for God being much larger than our being with God, and what we think is a lack of commitment. That in the traditional sense of discipleship, the path generally looks like is somebody meets Jesus, they start maybe attending church. We believe in and actually use connection cards or communication cards. We want people to connect with others, to serve and start giving in the hope that they would have worldwide impact. And so we started to take a look at what we call now a little bit more of a transformative model. Somebody meets Jesus, maybe they start attending church, but they start looking at their iceberg for deep change below the surface instead of remaining just above the surface for a hopeful more wide impact in their lives. And we believe that important to that deep change comes a couple of resources that we now offer called the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality Course and the Emotionally Healthy Relationships Course. Both of these courses are standalone individual courses that we actually consider one course that we call the Emotionally Healthy Discipleship Course. I'll talk a little bit more about that in the next few minutes, about what does it look like to cultivate emotional health in my own life as a pastor and leader, which is first and foremost important, and then what does it look like to do that in the life of a congregation. So in looking at transformative discipleship, we know that in the potter's hands, this is where we want to be, right? Doesn't that look pretty? Doesn't that? I mean, I look at that picture and I say, how do I get there? I want to do that right there. When in reality, that this is where we have to go first. And few are willing to get their feet in the mud to go here first. So if we look at it kind of in a modern-day discipleship context, and if we look at it as a kind of a funnel, we expect people to attend and connect and serve, and then hopefully we send them to go for a hopeful impact. Then we look at Jesus' discipleship strategy, right? He starts with 3, goes to 12, to 70, to 500, and literally turns the world upside down, transforms the world. So in the context of integrating the emotionally healthy discipleship courses, I'll often talk to pastors. The number one question we'll get is, I've picked up one of these books, The Emotionally Healthy Church, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. There's a book out called The Emotionally Healthy Woman. It's actually meant for men and women. That's another long story, but it's currently titled Emotionally Healthy Woman. 2 years ago, Pete released the newest book, Emotionally Healthy Leader. And then just this last fall, we released the Emotionally Healthy Discipleship Courses. So we'll get the question. I picked up one of these resources. I'm reading it for myself. My life is starting to transform. My marriage is starting to transform. How do I integrate emotionally healthy spirituality into the life of the congregation I'm leading? Into the life, we have some business people, we have some therapists and counselors, life coaches, spiritual directors that are starting to use the material as well. And so the idea is that you would essentially, in a church context, take the emotionally healthy discipleship courses and make them a part of whatever your primary discipleship pathway is in the life of your church. But it's a little bit surprising to me that when I mention that phrase, primary discipleship pathway, or ask the question, what is your discipleship strategy, how often I'll get kind of blank stares and the question, well, what is that? It goes back to only 1% of leaders say that we're doing a very good job in the church at discipling new and young believers. And so so when I let pastors know, what you want to do is take these courses and make them part of your discipleship strategy, sometimes they'll say, well, we don't have one right now, but this is going to be it. And then I do my timeout. This is the emotional component of discipleship. We believe it's a missing component of discipleship. We are biblical in emotionally healthy spirituality and discipleship, but we're not Bible survey. If your folks go through our material, our courses, they're going to do Bible study in every session. But we're not teaching them how to study the Bible for themselves. So as a pastor, we want to think about how are we discipling people in those critical areas, right? This is discipleship specifically in the emotional component, which we like this illustration of a tree to just kind of illustrate for us that under the soil is our being with Jesus. It is the foundation of everything that we are as people, right? And from that, the trunk of the tree might include the emotionally healthy spirituality course, the emotionally healthy relationships course, but then growing up from there as well is everything else that church is and church does in your context by all of these leaves that are marked along the way. But for the emotionally healthy discipleship courses, we believe that the emotionally healthy spirituality course really goes beneath the iceberg in people's lives to address the issue of loving God. And then the emotionally healthy relationships course specifically addresses how do we love people? We can't separate the two, right? There's no way we can separate loving God from loving people or loving people from loving God. And so we're addressing both areas. I know this type is way too small for you guys to see in the back of the room, but this is just a graphic, and I've got a little bit more to show you in a minute here. But the emotionally healthy discipleship courses, we believe it's a discipleship model proven that we're seeing to deeply change people's lives and some of the details, but we'll get to that in a minute. So the courses each are 8-session courses, typically done in 8-week modules. is what we recommend. We call it centralized and high quality. What that means is that we encourage you to do these courses in a large group format as a course. We used to offer small group material. We don't do that anymore for a couple of reasons. One is because we found that pastors were asking the question, how do I enculturate my congregation in an emotionally healthy spirituality? That when it was left to small groups, that in most churches anyway, small groups are optional as to whether or not people go through the material. So it wasn't necessarily enculturating in the life of the congregation. And then in many churches, small group leaders get to make decisions on which parts of the material they're going to teach. So an example would be, we consider the teaching we do in one of the sessions on discovering the rhythms of the daily office, which are two or three or more times a day. Traditionally, they would be better known in mainline churches as fixed hours of prayer, something like that. We consider the daily office to be very core to the course, and we recommend that you actually start each session with a 5-minute daily office to model it for your folks. They actually receive a day-by-day devotional that gives them two daily offices that they can follow for 5 days of every week as they're going through the course. We consider it core to the course. However, we would have small group leaders that would get hold of material and go, daily office? What's daily office? I go to the office every day. I don't know what daily office is. And they said, I don't know what to do with it. So they would not do that and not introduce it at all. So it didn't work in small group material, so we took it to a large group format with table small groups, centralized, so that the ideal is that most folks in the congregation eventually go through the emotionally healthy discipleship courses. They've been refined, the courses, over 20 years, we're really in the early stages of embedding the courses in churches at individual churches' requests. We have right now just short of 400 churches across the U.S. and Canada, as well as a number of churches outside of the country as well that we're working with internationally that are starting to implement the emotionally healthy discipleship courses. We have four what we call emotionally healthy discipleship core essentials. So the question often comes, well, what's really happening? What are these courses really all about in introducing people to? The first is slowing down to be with Jesus. I'll share with you, there's kind of a legendary story that goes around Foursquare. It's not just a legend, it's actually true, that some of our executive leaders several years ago when Pete was first being introduced to Foursquare had spoken at a couple of Foursquare events, was asked if he would come and work with the executive level of our denomination, and he said no. And those leaders said, kind of caught off guard, and said, why not? He said, I've been to your events. I've been to your conferences. You have people up before the sun gets up. You have them going to bed late at night. Where do you just let people just be with God? Well, you're moving so fast, he could pick up that our culture was just moving at a kind of a breakneck speed. He said, emotionally healthy spirituality really requires an individual and an organization, a congregation, to slow down and not go with the speed of culture. So he said, I'm not so sure that it's good for you guys I think it's going to be too big of a deal for you to slow down. It's one of the core essentials of emotionally healthy discipleship, actually slowing down to be with Jesus. Second essential is we lead people in a process of going back to go forward. And we teach people how to create what's called a genogram. If any of you have ever done one of those, take a look at your family of origin and discover what the earthquake moments are, discover what the family commandments have been. Discover your role in your family, and what does it mean to go back and see the patterns that have happened in your family and become an agent of transformation for yourself and then potentially for the rest of your family as well. A third core essential is learning skills to love well. That's where emotionally healthy relationships come in. In that course, we teach 8 relational skills that come right out of emotionally healthy spirituality, practical skills of communicating and living and loving like Jesus. And then the 4th core discipleship is that we teach people to begin to practice Sabbath rhythms. One of the 7 pathways to EHS we call Discover the Rhythms of the Daily Office and Sabbath. And so we teach people about Sabbath and encourage that we continue to begin to live a Sabbath lifestyle in many, many different ways, many different reflections, but not the least of which would be begin to practice a weekly Sabbath. I mentioned a little earlier that the core of the courses really is being with Jesus. And so we teach around silence, solitude, loving union, rhythms, listening, practicing his presence, and living a first-hand spirituality. And both of the courses come with an individual 40-day, day-by-day book. So we have an EHS course, day-by-day devotional, and an EHR course, day-by-day devotional, to deepen this in participants' lives, in the lives of the folks in your congregation. So the Leader's Kit actually includes these elements for the EH Spirituality course. There is the EHS book. There is a workbook. Then there's a DVD. It comes with 2 videos for each week, a teaching video, and a closing summary that Pete Scazzaro does on each video, and then the day-by-day book. And the individual sessions, it starts with the problem of emotionally unhealthy spirituality and then walks through the 7 pathways of EHS. Know yourself that you may know God. Go back to go forward. Journey through the wall, and each session looks at a biblical character dealing with that very issue. We talk about enlarging your soul through grief and loss. One of the speakers, I can't remember his name this morning, talked about how we don't do sadness very well in the church. And we address that as one of the pathways of an emotionally healthy spirituality is enlarging your soul through grief and loss. Discovering the daily office and Sabbath, I mentioned a little bit earlier. Grow into an emotionally mature adult. What does that mean? What does that look like? And so we teach around that and are practical about that. And then we end with going the next step to develop a rule of life. And we teach what a rule of life is and give the picture of a trellis, which is what the word rule actually means. That's meant to be like the trellis for a grapevine, where a grapevine grows up off the ground and into maturity. And so we teach around that. And then following is the Emotionally Healthy Relationships course. That also is 8 sessions and skills. It starts with take your community temperature reading is the first skill that we teach. We call it connecting light, and we give a framework for taking each other's temperature. We call it community temperature reading because it's a skill that's meant to do with 2 or more people. When Colleen and I first began to use it many, many years ago, we would sometimes use it around the dinner table with our boys and encourage them just kind of take their temperature. We talk about clarifying expectations, and we teach a tool around that called stop mind reading, kind of a fun little tool, and we give the 4 elements of a valid expectation. If you don't have, if it's not conscious, if it's not realistic, if it's not spoken, or if it's not mutually agreed upon, if you're missing any of those elements, you do not have a valid expectation between 2 people. You have a hope, not an expectation. And then we actually walk people more in depth through their genogram, going back in order to go forward, and have them do a full genogram during the course. We talk about exploring the iceberg and teach a tool for that. We talk about what it means to listen incarnationally. Right? Jesus left his world to come to ours. And so we teach a skill that comes right out of it's a common tool that you might know as active listening or speaker listener, but we call it listen incarnationally. You're invited to leave your world to listen to the person who's wanting to be heard. And Climb the Ladder of Integrity is a tool to help you come to the answer of why you're having conflict with a particular person in your life. Not necessarily meant to be a conflict resolution tool in terms of with them one-on-one, but meant for you to come to the core of why you're having the conflict. Based on the difficult concept of conflict that says, all conflict starts within me. That's worth writing down. You might want to write that down. I don't have that anywhere else. But that all conflict starts within me. A true concept of conflict. And then finally, we teach a conflict resolution tool that we call, what does it mean to fight cleanly? And so we give you a tool to teach you how to actually have a clean argument. Again, loving God, loving others, between the two courses. I was hoping to have a few of the leaders kits here, but they got delayed by UPS, so they're not here. But you can actually go online to order these, and I'll tell you how to get there in a second. Each of the materials in each of the courses, we have here a checklist that's in the back of the book for folks to just kind of mark their progress as they're going through the EHS course there and then the EHR course. And then also offer, there's nothing formal to it, but they can go on our website to print out a certificate of completion once they go through it. But here's a reality check about these courses. Number one, it's not a quick fix. It's also not plug and play. I would actually discourage you from buying the kit and starting the course next week. I would discourage that. The first question I would ask you is, have you read the book for you, yourself? Have you begun to mature yourself in emotionally healthy spirituality? So it's not a quick fix, and it really, truly is hard work. So that's why we like to say this is the emotionally healthy discipleship courses are not plug and play. So you want to be careful about that. What do you do with them then? We'll talk about that in a minute as well before we open for some Q&A. We offer free resources for those that are wanting to lead the discipleship courses in your church, everywhere from how to prepare all the way through weekly schedules, how to lead silence and stillness, some marketing resources for your courses. We offer job descriptions as you're preparing to set out on your course. One of the biggest pieces, I'll tell you ahead of time, is training your small group table leaders. It's very important. People will often ask, does a table leader have to go through the course before they're a table leader? And the answer is no. But your preparation of your table leaders is very, very important. We actually offer Pete's schedule and outline for each session. A common question we get is, how long are the sessions? We have the sessions on the website built for 2 hours. The church that Pete and Jerry planted and 4 years ago handed the baton of leadership to another leader, they are now still at that church as teaching pastors, and they lead the EH discipleship courses at New Life. They do them in 2.5 hours. Yeah. But we build the sessions for 2 hours. We work with a lot of leaders who are able to, and we coach them in how to bring it down to 1.5 hours. And then we have course coaching available. Pete actually knows that one of my ulterior motives working with EHS is that I'd love to see more Foursquare pastors and churches engaged in the process of emotionally healthy discipleship. So because of that, I coach all of our Foursquare churches. Right now we have 30 churches across the nation that are at one stage or another of engaging the discipleship courses. So one of our resources that we offer, how to run the discipleship courses. We have a leaders network. That's the website, if you'd like to write it down, where you can sign up for the leaders network, where we offer every other month conference calls with Pete. They're 1 hour Zoom calls, and they're set up as a conference. He'll do about 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes of live Q&A right there with those who are leading the courses in their church or getting ready to. You get connected with a discipleship course coach, which for those of us that are Foursquare right now, that would be me. We would get connected. And then you also get added to what we call our emotionally healthy course map on our website that looks like this. And we encourage all of our churches to actually register every course that you schedule. We often have people contact us and say, how can I find, I've got the book, but it's not happening in my church. Is there anywhere close to me? And folks can find you on the map so that it actually becomes somewhat of an outreach tool for you as well. So before we go to Q&A, what do I do next? We have three basic steps, really. The first is to get the Leaders Kit online. If you go to emotionallyhealthy.org and click on Shop, it takes you right to where you can order the Leaders Kit. It's I believe it's $95. Gives you everything you need to actually facilitate the courses in your church. And then the next step is to attend a live stream training with Pete. We do those trainings once a month, live stream. They're 3 hours on the West Coast. It would be 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. On the East Coast, it's 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. And he rotates every month which course he's training in. So, for instance, tomorrow is our next training, and it's on how to lead the EH spirituality course in your church. On June 21st, the training will be how to lead the EH relationships course in your church, and they'll rotate every month to get folks through. We actually want you to be with a group of at least three people in the room, because one of the things he does is lead you through a session of the course. So in the course, in a session where the facilitator would say, I want you to turn to your tables, Pete does that, and you're turning them into, you're turning in with the other two people that are in the room with you, so you can actually experience it. And we have monthly dates online, but for quick reference, here they are as well, May 31st, June 21, July 24, and August 30. If you'd like, I'd be happy to email you this PowerPoint as well if you contact me if you want the details on the dates. What happens at the live stream training? You're going to learn 5 best practices to a great course. You're going to experience the DNA of a complete session, like what I just mentioned, with Pete facilitating. You're going to learn to train small group table leaders. We spend a good chunk of time because of how important that role is. And then we talk about why silence and stillness really is the core to discipleship. So really those next steps are to get the Leaders Kit, to attend a live stream training with Pete, and then thirdly, to pilot the course. We encourage pastors and leaders to actually use that word, pilot the course, to let your folks know whether you're going to start it with your church council, your staff, a mix of those two groups, a set of leaders in your church, however you're going to do it. Start small and then go from there. We actually encourage you to do that before you go wide to the whole congregation to get some of your leaders on board. And we actually encourage you to call the first times you do it a pilot. We're just going to pilot this. We're going to see how this goes and get some feedback from you. And then we're going to go from there. So we encourage you to start small, like the corn seed that eventually turns into this, right? We start here, we go here. So, again, that's what the Leaders Kit looks like. I would be happy to answer some questions. And actually, before we open it up for Q&A, let me also mention, and Alexis, if you can have those yellow cards available, if you are serving in a role right now, you're a Foursquare pastor, or maybe you're not a licensed Foursquare pastor yet, but you are a counselor, either certified or licensed counselor, therapist, social worker, psychologist, psychiatrist, a life coach, or a spiritual director, we're looking to connect with you around EHS as well as around those modalities of service. So if you're not already connected with the network that's forming around that and you would like to be, would you raise your hand? And if you'll raise your hand, we've got Alexis is going to hand out some cards to get you connected with that network that will mix in some emotionally healthy spirituality with networking around these service modalities as well. Any questions? Questions? Comments? Yes. Yes. Should you start with one or the other course, or does it matter? We recommend that if you're going to start it in the life of your church as part of your discipleship pathway, that you start with the EHS course. However, it's not a prerequisite per se. So here's how we like to put it. Each course stands alone, but you can't separate them, is what we say. So we actually consider it, even though I'm using the word plural, courses, and currently our box says the EH Discipleship Leaders or Courses Leaders Kit. We're actually looking at changing that to the EH Discipleship Course, one course in two parts, because we just think that they're critical to connect. That being said, we do have some churches that start with relationships because they feel like they connect better with people before they lead into spirituality. But we think that some of the emotionally healthy relationship skills actually make more sense if you have the foundation of the pathways of emotionally healthy spirituality. Yeah. So, great question. Any other questions? Yes, Diana. Sure, yeah. Yes, so the question is, we heard that we recommend that it's done in a large group format with table small groups, but essentially, what if my church is set up in such a way where I have one table small group when I'm running the course, right? It can be done. The large group format, table small group, even if you just have one table small group. You're probably going to find that the timing of the session runs a little bit shorter because you're managing, you know, fewer tables and fewer people. So it can definitely be done that way. But we often will have the challenge that we'll often get from some leaders is the only discipleship we do is through small groups. And so we're going to let our small group leaders, you know, pick whether or not they want to use the course. You can do it that way, but that's not the way it's built to be used. Yeah. Yes. So the question is, how long is each weekly session? It's built to be 2 hours. Yeah, what you download is a free resource from our website that is the run sheet. We actually give you a run sheet. Is actually built for 2 hours. But there are ways to break it down to an hour and 45 or an hour and a half. A lot of it really comes down to managing the time and the facilitator being able to manage the timing for their table small group leaders. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. Yes. That's a great question. What's the youngest people can participate? We often get the question is, do you have EHS material for kids? Do you have it for teenagers? We don't have, this is the only material we have at this point. And what we found in field testing is that probably the break point is high schoolers. And so we'll actually find that some churches see some great success having some of their high schoolers participate with their own table, and the table small group leader being either their youth pastor or one of their youth ministry leaders actually going through it with them. But we recommend high school being the youngest. Any other question? Okay, yeah. Yeah, great question. So far we've got the EHS course fully available in Spanish. Right now, Emotionally Healthy Relationships is in the process of being translated into Spanish. And the book itself, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality and the Emotionally Healthy Leader, do have a few other language translations. I don't remember right offhand what the list is, But right now, as far as the course is concerned, Spanish is what we've got available for EHS, and almost there with EHR. Yeah. Yes. I actually recommend that you start with that. Yeah. That you start personal. Yeah. So the Scazzaro's story really functions on Jerry telling Pete one Sunday morning in 1996, she came to him and said, I'm quitting your church. I quit. I'm not going to your church anymore. There's too much stuff going on that's unhealthy. I need to start standing up for myself. And so she started going to another church. That's what their story kind of revolves around. She wrote a book on 8 ways that you need to quit. And they called it I Quit by Jerry Scazzaro. The publisher ended up finding that men don't read books written by women. They don't buy books written by women. So they did a retitling and called it The Emotionally Healthy Woman. But I recommend men read it all the time. Pete has thought about potentially adding a book, The Emotionally Healthy Man. He has said the only thing he would change is some of the illustrations to maybe lean towards men, but everything else in the book would remain the same, and he feels like it's a waste of time. So that's why it's now called The Emotionally Healthy Woman. 8 ways you need to quit. 8 things you need to quit doing. So, yeah, did that answer your question? I highly recommend that pastors actually sit in and integrate the material personally first. Highly recommended. I also would like to recommend to you, especially those of you up here in the Northwest, if you haven't met him yet, I want to introduce Jamie Pagels, who's the pastor of the Pullman Four Square Church. If you stand up so everybody in the back could see as well, Jamie. Jamie and his wife Heidi are integrating emotionally healthy discipleship in their discipleship pathway and have got some phenomenal experience with it. So you could also talk to Jamie hey, Jamie, how is this really working in the life of a church? Down in the Pacific Southwest District, if you're in that region, I would encourage you to connect with Kevin Dolby. Kevin, would you stand for just a second? Kevin has been pastoring the Boulder City, Nevada, Foursquare Church, and has also, for the last few years, been integrating EH discipleship in the life of that congregation. So these guys have got great experience. Am I missing any of you and any of my other EHS pastors that we can connect pastors to? Okay, good, good. Any other questions? Yeah. Is emotionally healthy church similar to emotionally healthy spirituality? Emotionally Healthy Church was the first book that Pete wrote. It does not include the sections on contemplative spirituality having to do with the daily office. It does include Sabbath. It doesn't include the daily office. So Emotionally Healthy Spirituality was written later when Pete began to discover the integration of contemplative spirituality into, which we call, because contemplative spirituality can be a trigger phrase for lots of evangelicals, it's in the book, but we're calling it a slowed down spirituality. That's really the point. So that's one way that they're different, but we would also say that the Emotionally Healthy Church was written specifically for pastors. The Emotionally Healthy Spirituality book was written for everybody, but spirituality does include more material than Emotionally Healthy Church. Yes. Absolutely. Come on. Yeah. No, go ahead. Yes. Yes. We could talk about those possibilities. We don't advertise, you know, outside of Foursquare or outside of Foursquare pastors, but you could talk to me about that and we could kind of tap into what you'd like to do and what some of your needs might be and see if we can make something work. It really is. I invite you all to come to Virginia, and I also invite you, if you're going to come, to try and schedule so that you're there over a Friday night, so that you can experience the Friday Night Jamboree in Floyd, Virginia, half an hour away, which is one of the seats of the origins of bluegrass music in our country. And it is a cultural experience. As a matter of fact, I often will tell pastors, if you've been to CSR East and you haven't been to the Friday Night Jamboree, I'm not sure if you've been to CSR East. Because it is a cultural and often deeply enriching and transforming experience to go to Floyd, Virginia and experience the Friday Night Jamboree, which is a community event that Floyd has been doing every Friday night for over 100 years. They don't put on a show for the tourists. They open their arms to the tourists. And you come and get to experience this fun community event that this tiny community of Floyd celebrates community every Friday night. So highly encourage that. And I would also encourage you to let your other pastoral colleagues know about CSR, and if you would, to kind of join my grassroots movement to change the view within Foursquare of CSR. There are pastors that do get rehabbed through the ministry of Center for Spiritual Renewal, but it's not all of what we're about. It's not even the bulk of what we want to be about. What we want to be about is giving you a place to take a break, free timeshare. I sure hope that today hasn't just seemed like a commercial. I'm not a natural salesperson, and I know that sometimes, even when we talk about emotionally healthy discipleship, because there are some products involved, it can kind of sound that way. I hope you hear from my heart, that's not my heart at all. It is transformative material that I believe we're just seeing the cusp of some of the transformation that can take place in our pastors' lives, in our churches, as we begin to embrace together these principles. Can I pray for you as I release you? Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be with each of these leaders today. And I'm asking, Lord, that as they've heard just a little bit of my own story and some of what you're doing in this realm of emotional health, that you would answer the questions that are deep in their souls about what does it look like to cultivate emotional health and an emotionally healthy discipleship in my own life. And that you would use today, Lord, to open wide windows of your Spirit pouring into them the life that you've meant for them to live. Because, Lord, they've been given out life and given and given and given, and yet there's something about the life that they give that you actually want for them, too. So I pray that you would give it as they enjoy the rest of their time in Seattle this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, you guys. Thank you.